This is Radio Influence.
He heard it.
Beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he scores the top.
Wow.
And here comes a mention. And it's all over. It's
nice.
All over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich
one
Franklin
punch
retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome, welcome in to another episode of the MMA Report podcast. I am Jason Floyd, and we've got a ton of things to discuss here on this week's podcast. We're going to talk about a minor change that has happened to Saturday's UFC Fight Night 106 card down in Fortaleza, Brazil. A preliminary card matchup has been scratched, and of course, that has altered a little bit of the fight lineup, so we'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk about the return of George St. Pierre, as of course, it was announced last week. He is going to be challenging Michael Bisping for the UFC middleweight title. Also, going to let you hear from Dana White and Tyron Woodley, a little fallout from UFC 209. Let you hear what they had to say, and particularly Dana White's comment about new weight classes in MMA. And I'll tell you, wasn't exactly surprised by the comment that Dana White did have to say when it came to weight classes. So we'll hear from that. Also going to have five interviews for you here on the podcast. You're going to hear from Angel DeAnda, who's going to be taking on Justin Basement at Global Knockouts 9. You may remember Angel from his time in the World Series of Fighting. So we'll talk to him about what's going on and what is his motivation for fighting, as he only has one major motivation. Also, you're going to hear from the two men that are going to be in the main event of Shamrock FC 285 coming up on Saturday night. That is Garrett Mueller and Steven Nguyen. Also, you're going to hear from a prospect coming out of Valor Fights, Demir Ferhat-Begovic. He is going to be taking on Luis Pena at Valor Fights 41. Of course, that is next Saturday night in Tennessee. So Ferhat-Begovic is definitely one of those prospects you need to be paying attention to. And our final interview on the show is going to be with David Chavez. He is going to be taking on Anthony Jimenez at 559 Fights on March 18th for the vacant amateur bantamweight title. Had a great conversation with him. We touched on a lot of subjects. So all those interviews come here on this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast. And as always, we are brought to you by Fight TV. Fight is a go-to app for MMA fans and practitioners. Live pay-per-views and TV tapings, full-length matches and interviews, movies and documentaries. Fight is your number one source for MMA, boxing, and pro wrestling video. Get a front row seat to live wrestling, MMA, and boxing action anytime, anyplace. Get Fight free and see what's streaming now for you. Download the Fight app today by going to Fight, FITE.TV/Radio Influence/. Once again, that is Fight, FITE.TV/Radio Influence/. And some of the events that you can check out on Fight TV this week, most notably on Saturday, ACB 54, an absolutely stacked card. This is a free event that you can watch on Fight TV. Bubba Jenkins is on this card. Luke Barnett's on this card. Tanner Bowser's on this card. A great fight card that ACB has put together. So it will be streamed free on Fight TV on Saturday night starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Some other MMA that is happening on Fight TV coming up this weekend that you can check out. The Tough Enough Downtown Showdown. That is going to be on Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That is free, by the way. On Saturday night, you have Premier FC 22. This is a paywall of $14.99. It's going to cost you to watch that. Also on Saturday night, they will have KOP 53 for $14.99 and Prime Fighting 9 for $14.99. And if you're a Muay Thai fan, they will have Muay Thai coming up on Sunday morning at 7:20 a.m. Eastern Time with Max Muay Thai. So if you're looking for some Muay Thai there, so Fight has got you covered, and I appreciate their support here on the MMA Report podcast. Of course, this podcast you can always check out on RadioInfluence.com, also available iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search the MMA Report. Hopefully everyone is having a good week, good weekend, whenever you may be listening to this podcast, whether you're listening to this on Wednesday when it comes out, or maybe you're listening to it a weekend while you're doing things maybe around the house. I appreciate everyone that listens every week here on the MMA Report podcast. Of course, along with this podcast this week, on Friday, I will have a preview show for UFC Fight Night 106 as myself and Daniel Galvan. We'll break down that fight card, give you our picks, and give you some prop bets. That's one of the things we had a question a couple weeks ago or listener one day hear maybe some of the prop bets that we thought could cash. So that's something that has become a regular segment. And I guess we'll probably once again play the game, who is going to miss weight, because it is definitely that is something that's happening all the time in the UFC. But I'm having a great week, I tell you. I went out and bought a new car, had an awesome buying experience. One of absolutely the best car buying experience I've ever had. Just made it super easy. You know, sometimes buying a car, it can be a little bit of a hassle. I think we all know that. You know, at some point you've gone through that hassle of buying a car, but had an absolutely tremendous time. And I'll say this is, you know, look, they're not advertising this podcast. I'll tell you straight up, I just had a great experience. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, go check out my boys over there at Furman Nissan. They took care of me great, especially Anthony over there. If you're looking for a new car over there, be sure to check out them. They took absolutely great. It was just a super easy buying experience. Super easy buying experience. So if you're in Tampa Bay area, definitely check those guys out. They treat me well, and a lot of MMA fans over there. That was one of the things that I found out. A lot of MMA fans over there at Furman Nissan. So I was talking to them a little bit about the card that I'm going to be calling here coming up in just about a month from now, April 21st here in Tampa, Battlegrounds MMA. So looking forward to calling that fight card with Dustin Poirier. By the way, Dustin Poirier in the news, that is, it is now official. He is going to be taking on Eddie Alvarez at UFC 211. So looking forward to calling the fights there with Dustin Poirier, as of course, that fight came together on Tuesday. Monday, Eddie Alvarez made the comments how he was looking for that Nate Diaz fight. Ultimately didn't happen, so now he's going to take on Dustin Poirier. And that UFC 211 fight card, man, is looking like a tremendous fight card, you know, right now on paper. You know, what exactly we've seen there, of course, it's going to be the main event. It's going to be Stipe Miocic defending the UFC heavyweight title against former champion Junior Dos Santos. Of course, we all know this is a rematch. Also, you got Joanna Jędrzejczyk defending the women's strawweight title against Jessica Andrade, and Damian Maia. Jorge Masvidal is on that card. So, UFC 211 looking like a great fight card that is coming there to Dallas, Texas in May. So looking forward to that fight card. Obviously, UFC 209, I know a lot of people are still down on it. I'm still getting texts from friends about how did I score the main event and whatnot, and I talked about that there on the preview podcast. But, we will talk a little bit about UFC 209. A little bit here in terms of Dana White and Tyron Woodley, exactly some things that have been said over the past couple of days, whether it was in Las Vegas or on Monday. Tyron Woodley did an interview with TMZ Sports, and he was responding a little bit to Dana White. And I'm going to play you what Tyron Woodley had to say here. And I will say this, I do understand where Tyron Woodley is coming from.
Dana White thought I won the first fight, but he didn't publicly come out and say he thought I won the first fight. So I thought it was a bit distasteful for the promoter to say he thought he won a fight. That's like me coming out as a fighter saying I didn't think he did a good job of promoting the fight, which I don't. I don't think they did a good job promoting me as champion. Have you ever heard of a judge, the commissioner, go off on the referee for, oh, man, he should have never awarded that 10-8 round? Have you ever heard that before? Why am I fight with a person do that when in fact the 10A round did not fix the outcome at all? The person that gave a 10A was the person that gave the draw. So why would we be making such a huge travesty on that? They should have did that in New York. I'ma fall back. I'ma do my thing. But goddamn, I'ma be a tough dude to deal with.
And I understand some of the comments that you heard Tyron Woodley make there to TMZ Sports, and in particularly with what you said about Dana White giving a scorecard, which typically 90% of the time Dana White really never gives his scorecard, which you kind of understand where Tyron Woodley is coming from. He's sitting there going, why is Dana doing this now where he hasn't done it before? Mentioning about Bob Bennett and, Mitch, him coming down on Sal D'Amato for scoring the fifth round of that fight, a 10-8 round. And, we talked to myself and Daniel Galvan, we talked about this on the post-fight show. And, it's one of those things of, I think, and I understand where Tyron Woodley is coming from. I completely understand where he's coming from of, hey, why all of a sudden is Bob Bennett talking there? He doesn't mention Bob Bennett by name, but that's who he's talking about. But I think what we're ultimately seeing happening is, I believe, commissions, they want to basically give their side of the story, to the media, answer questions from the media. There are times where privately, you know, regulators will talk to you, but publicly they really don't want to give a lot of comments because it could be, you know, people could perceive their comments in one way or another. But I just think that this is where regulatory bodies and the commissions, they want to basically let their side of the story be known out there. And I do think we're going to see this happen more often. But I do understand where Tyron Woodley is coming from. Now, when he talks about right there at the very end of that piece there, where he says, hey, I'm going to be a tough guy to deal with, that's going to be interesting to kind of see how this plays out because, you know, Tyron had kind of had hinted at this prior to UFC 209, and I do agree with Tyron Woodley in terms of I don't think the UFC has done a great job of marketing him. I am completely on board that. But in terms of, you know, Tyron Woodley, him, you know, basically essentially being able to play hardball with the UFC, and I think ultimately it's going to come down to what are the pay-per-view buys like for UFC 209? If UFC 209 draws under 300,000 pay-per-view buys, Tyron Woodley really has no leverage. And I think him playing hardball with the UFC likely is not going to work out in his favor. Now, if that pay-per-view sold 350, 375, 400,000 buys, okay, he's got a little bit of a leverage because the UFC needs guys that have the ability to sell pay-per-views. Now, the way that fight played out, it was a very technical fight, and you understand where both guys were basically putting themselves in the best position to succeed, but not the type of fight that ultimately is going to get people all in on Tyron Woodley. So I understand where Woodley is coming from, but also I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how this plays out in terms of, you know, if that pay-per-view buys are under 300K, Tyron Woodley is not going to have much leverage. But you do understand where he's coming off, seeing, you know, why all of a sudden is Dana White giving a scorecard, and why all of a sudden is Bob Bennett, you know, coming out and railing on one of his referees, which ultimately it didn't play a role in the fight, no matter what. And really, what ultimately won Tyron Woodley that fight was, you know, getting the second round of the judges' scorecards and that fifth round, that last minute with that flurry he had that, you know, look, he may have been a punch or two away from getting a savage victory there against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Now, in terms of Dana White, obviously him and Tyron Woodley continue to go back and forth, and I don't think that's going to stop, but there were two cuts I wanted to play for you here. First up, it's about weight classes, and this is something that the Association of Boxing Commissions and Combative Sports is going to discuss later this year at the annual meeting, which is going to be in July. I think it's going to be towards the, I want to say like around like July 25th, somewhere around there. It's going to be at the Mohegan Sun. I'm hoping to go up there and attend that conference and hopefully bring you some shows from up there. But, you know, weight class is going to be something that's going to be talked about. And everyone has heard what, you know, what is likely going to be proposed. And just because if the ABC it proposes these, accepts them, and puts them into the unified rules does not mean the UFC has to adapt them. You know, at the end of the day, they're a promotion, they can do whatever they want. But it would be a part of the unified rules, and we all know it would be adding 165, eliminating 170, adding 175, and adding 195. Now, once again, does not mean that the promotions have to adopt these divisions, but I think some of them would. But Dana White was asked a question about adding more weight classes, and this was in relation to Khabib Nurmagomedov not being able to fight at UFC 209.
He obviously had the weight-cutting issue. We've had the Hendricks have weight-cutting issues in the past. Would you ever consider a 165-pound division and moving welterweight up to 175?
See, I wouldn't say that Khabib is a guy who's been a weight-cutting hazard for us. He really hasn't been. You know, he's had some injuries and everything else, and you pointed out to me earlier that he did miss weight once. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what to do. I got to see how this whole thing plays out.
Well, it's a new weight class is what I'm talking about, though. Like a 165 and moving welterweight up to 175. Would that ever be a consideration?
I was trying to beat around the bush saying no.
Fair enough.
You don't understand it, though.
And there you hear Dana White saying that, you know, obviously he's not interested. And I've heard in the past, and I heard this more when there was this talk of adding 225 pounds, a cruiserweight division, that the UFC was not on board with this, and that there were a lot of promotions that weren't on board with this, and ultimately kind of it sounded like that ultimately is what helped kill the thought process of 225. But I think that, you know, for the UFC, they've kind of stood by this point that they don't want to add weight classes because I think there's certain weight classes you could say that it would hurt. You know, I think 195 could potentially hurt two weight classes of 185 and 205, but I think ultimately is if we're not going to change the way we do weigh-ins, and I mean that becomes a bigger topic of conversation. It's actually a topic that I'm looking to address here on a future episode of the MMA Insiders Podcast, just trying to get the right person to come on with me to talk about that. But which, by the way, about one of the next episodes is probably going to be the episode that comes out in probably 2 weeks. It's going to be more about anti-doping, as I'm going to bring in someone who knows anti-doping much better than I do in terms of not necessarily drug testing aspect, but the actual anti-doping part of it. Jeff Cruchel, who does a show on Radio Influence called Crush Performance. You know, he's done work with Major League Baseball and various MLB teams, so we're going to talk to him about anti-doping. So looking forward to having him. But I do want to have somebody on the kind of talk about weight classes. But I really think that at the end of the day, adding weight class is about fighter safety. And I just don't understand at the end of the day why the UFC would not be for a 165-pound weight class. And, you know, I know Joe Rogan had his comments. And we do need weight classes that where guys are going to be more fighting at their natural weight. And as I've always said, you know, the problem with MMA in terms of weight classes is it's not always fighting at the weight that you're the most healthiest at. It's usually about the weight that you can get down to. So we'll see what happens there. And maybe Dana White ultimately changed his mind. Hey, we saw him change his mind. He brought Misha Cirkunov back, which we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But the final cut I wanted to play for you is from Dana talking about the criticism of the main event of UFC Fight Night 107. Of course, this is next Saturday in London, going to be headlined by Jimmy Manoa and Corey Anderson. And I've talked about it a little bit on this podcast. If you're that MMA fan in the UK and maybe you only have enough income to either go to the UFC or the Bellator show in May, I personally would choose the Bellator show because of Paul Daly and Rory McDonald, which, by the way, all signs do point to that's going to be a tape delay show. Another baffling decision there by Bellator and Spike TV to do that. But Dana White did respond to the criticism that some people have about that main event in London.
Listen, you can't win them all. Jimmy Manoa was your guy. He's ranked number 4 in the world. He's your guy. He's possibly the next guy to fight for a title shot. And Corey Anderson is nasty and very, very tough. So, listen, Jimmy Manoa is going to fight this fight in the U.K. He's ranked number 4. Then I'm yanking him out of the U.K. and I'm going to bring him over to Las Vegas to fight here. And he's literally right in the mix for a title fight. So this is a big fight for him, and it's a big fight for the U.K. This is your guy.
And, you know, mentioning Jimmy Manoa there, look, Dana White is in full promoter mode, but it is interesting to me that Jimmy Manoa, now ranked as the number 4 challenger, jumps one spot above Ryan Bader, which, first off, I don't know what Jimmy Manoa, why he would jump one spot over Ryan Bader at this point, but it is what it is. But, you know, kind of the other interesting part about that is the fact of Ryan Bader's not been removed from the UFC rankings. It was mentioned on the UFC 209 pay-per-view, and there's a lot of people that are tending to believe that maybe Ryan Bader's going to end up back in the UFC. Of course, the exclusive matching rights period started, I believe, around February 20th from the contract that Ryan Bader did agree to with Bellator. So really, at any point now, maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast, that we're going to know where Ryan Bader is going to be. But when you look at that London card, I mean, you know, Jimmy Manoa and Corey Anderson, you know, 205 is the division that we all know it needs an infusion of talent, and particularly at the top of the division. And for Jimmy Manoa is, you know, we've seen him take that step up in competition twice now. And that was against Alexander Gustin back in 2014, lost via TKO in the second round. And then we saw it happen back in 2015 when he took on Rumble Johnson and he lost in the second round via knockout there at UFC 191. And then, you know, look, he is coming off a noble victory against Ovince St. Preux back at UFC 204 in October. So we'll see how well he does here against Corey Anderson. Of course, that will be a 4-fight main card next Saturday. Co-main event is Gunnar Nelson and Alan Chopin. The other two fights that are going to be on the main card will be Brad Pickett against Henry Baronis. That is Brad Pickett's final fight. I know I had a comment on my Twitter because when I posted the fight card, or someone basically said they felt that where Brad Pickett was at in his career, even though it is his last fight, that he should be on the main card. But, you know, no complaints on me for him being on the main card. And then you have Arnold Allen and Marquand Amirakani. That's actually going to be the fight that's going to kick off the main card on Fight Pass, which is going to begin at 5 p.m. Eastern time 2 p.m. Pacific time next Saturday. And then, of course, when you look at that preliminary card, which is going to start at 1:30 p.m. each time, 10:30 out on the West Coast, you know, some notable fights on there. Joe Duffy's going to be taking on Rezzy Madotti. Also, in terms of another one, Mark Diakis and Teemu Pakkinen. That's a fight that definitely has me interested. Tom Breese against Ulwe Bambuseg. Looking forward to that one. And I think the fight that could steal the show next Saturday, Leon Edwards and Vicente Luque. Watch out for that matchup there in the welterweight division. Most likely, I won't be able to watch these fight cards live. Going to be over in Orlando for the first and second round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Got my tickets. Hopefully the Florida State Seminoles are playing over there. Otherwise, I may not be going. If Florida State's not there, I may not go. But looking forward to basically Florida State's. They're going to be there. Pretty much a big little secret about the NCAA tournament in the first and second round, they really struggle selling tickets. So they try to get the most regional draws in there. So anyone knows, I'm a big FSU fan. Of course, I'll be watching them here in the ACC tournament this weekend. Hopefully they can make a nice little run there, but I'll probably catch most of this card on DVR, depending on, as long as they make it to the second round, they play on that Saturday. Maybe if they play at night or maybe even the afternoon, maybe I'll check these fights out at some point, maybe chilling at the pool in Orlando. But, a decent fight night card that is coming place next Saturday night, UFC Fight Night 106. Of course, this Saturday, or UFC Fight Night 106 next week is UFC Fight Night 107. There was a minor change to the UFC Fight Night card coming up on Saturday night, and that change has to do with the matchup that was initially scheduled to take place on the Fight Pass preliminary card. Kyle Bochniak was supposed to take on Godfredo Pepe. That fight has been removed from the fight card. Both fighters are injured. And with that fight off the television prelims, a matchup that was initially slated for the Fight Pass prelims, a bantamweight matchup between Hani Yahya and Joe Soto, has been elevated to the television prelims. Will be the second fight you'll see on the television prelims. By the way, the Fight Pass feature preliminary bout will be Hani Jason taking on Jeremy Kennedy. Of course, as I mentioned, we'll have a preview show later on this week. In terms of the fights that have me the most interested on this fight card, I am interested to see Davi Ramos make his UFC debut. Of course, you may remember Davi, obviously very accomplished jiu-jitsu practitioner, did have a fight in Bellator, lost to David Rickles, but it was only professional defeat. Looking forward to Charles Oliveira and Tim Means, second time around for these two guys. Also, Edson Barboza and Beneil Dariush, love that matchup there. And when it comes to the main event, I do kind of feel that this is a showcase fight for Kelvin Gastelum. I'm not sure what to completely expect out of Vitor Belfort, but obviously Kelvin Gastelum, I think we all hope that we see Kelvin Gastelum remain there at 185 pounds. Give you some other fight bookings that have been announced here by the UFC and also World Series of Fighting and CESMA. UFC 210, of course, that's going to be April 8th in Buffalo. Reportedly, Miles Jury versus Mike Della Torre has been added to that fight card. UFC Fight Night 108, Brian Barberina versus Joe Proctor, Jake Ellenberger versus Mike Perry. UFC on Fox 24, it was announced on Saturday night. The main event of this fight card will be Demetrius Johnson defending the flyweight title against Wilson Hines. Also, Jacare Souza versus Robert Whittaker has been added to that fight card. Huge step up in competition there for Robert Whittaker. Really interested to see taking on a guy like Jacare. If Robert Whittaker gets a win over Jacare, we'll see what happens there. And of course, with Jacare having a fight, and we all know with GSP fighting Michael Bisping, we'll see what happens there with Yoel Romero. Dana White said on Friday that he'll have a conversation. He'll take care of Yoel Romero, but we'll see what happens there. And by the way, speaking of UFC on Fox 24, tickets do go on sale this week. They go on sale to the public on Friday. They are priced at $200, $125, $180, $60, and $40. World Series of Fighting 35, which is going to be on March the 18th. There's been a slight change to this fight card. Steven Sire was initially supposed to take on Alejandro Almeida. That's no longer the case. Steven Sire is now going to take on Akeem Dawodu, and Alexandre Almeida is going to take on Steven Rodriguez. Phil Hawes has an opponent. He's going to take on Elijah Winter, and Tom Marciano has a new opponent. His initial opponent pulled out of the fight card due to injury. He will now be taking on Bill Jones in a lightweight matchup. Titan FC 44 is going to be taking place in later on this year in May, as you're going to have a bantamweight title matchup in the main event, as Farkhov Sharipov is going to defend the bantamweight title against flyweight champion Jose Torres. Also, the interim 155-pound title is going to be online. JC Cavalcante takes on Kurt Hollebutt. If you listened to last week's podcast, I had an interview with Des Green. He said the initial plan was for him to fight in March against Freddie Assuncao for the 155-pound title. And I had heard a couple weeks ago that that March event was no longer happening. And then it had been pushed back a couple weeks. And by the way, this event's going to be taking place at a brand new building there in Pembroke Pines. I believe it's called the Pembroke Pines Civic Center. So, you know, that'll be Titan FC 44. Of course, we'll have some Titan interviews coming up here in future episodes of the podcast. And other thing to mention, CES MMA 42. The lightweight champion, Luis Felix, has been added to this fight card. He's going to take on DeJuan Pickney in a non-title matchup. Now, you remember, Andre Sukumthal was supposed to defend the bantamweight title in the main event. However, of course, we all know he got signed by the UFC, made his UFC debut this past weekend, so his fight's off the fight card. The new main event is Chris Curtis defending the welterweight title against Wilfredo Santiago. Of course, that was a matchup that was already slated on the card as the co-main event. So those are some of the latest fight announcements that have been announced by the UFC World Series of Fighting Titan. And CES MMA. Also should be noted that Anastasia Yankova, she's going to be fighting in Bellator in April. When it comes to some of the news and notes going on, the medical suspensions for UFC 209, these came out on Monday. None of the major players got six-month suspensions. Tyson Pedro's facing a six-month suspension along with two other fighters, but no one from the main event or co-main event facing a long suspension. I mentioned about Misha Cirkunov has re-signed with the UFC. You know, I had heard, you know, when Dana White had come out and said that basically, you know, was saying that door was shut, I had heard not too long after that that the door wasn't completely shut. So Misha Cirkunov, it was reported last week, is returning to the UFC. We'll see what happens with Lorenz Larkin. I truly think we're going to see Lorenz Larkin in Bellator. I think that Bellator is ultimately going to put an offer out there for Lorenz Larkin that the UFC doesn't match. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of fans out there that would really hope that Lorenz Larkin does end up in the UFC. And as I say, I just want to see fighters get paid and get paid the most money that they can. Also, speaking of signings, Albert Tumanov has signed with ACB. Tumanov announced on his Instagram late last week that he was likely becoming a free agent. And I tell you, ACB, they are building a nice roster. And one of the things that I have heard from multiple sources is they are paying well. And when I say paying well, I'm not talking like they're paying like UFC level type money, but in terms of regional MMA, they're paying really well. And a lot of regional promoters in the United States better be paying attention to what ACB is doing. They are expanding to the United States. Yes, they're still doing their, you know, shows over in Europe and whatnot, but they are expanding to the United States and they are paying United States based fighters very good regional money. And so it'll be interesting to see with, because of the money they're offering fighters, is that ultimately going to hurt some of these notable regional promotions that we know and we hear of, you know, all the time here in MMA. Final thing to mention, of course, we mentioned about George St. Pierre going to be taking on Michael Bisping. They had a press conference last week where clearly Bisping had a little bit of a rough night prior to that. You could hear it in his voice. You know, he had some cocktails in him. And, you know, he was in full promotion mode. I truly expect that, you know, obviously there's some, you know, paperwork type issues in terms of USADA that has to be get corrected in terms of George St. Pierre of entering that testing pool and all that. But I truly do expect that we are going to see Michael Bisping, George St. Pierre headline the July 8th call. I expect the co-main event will be Cody Garbrandt defending the bantamweight title against TJ Dillashaw. Of course, they are the coaches on the next season of The Ultimate Fighter, which debuts next month. That season just wrapped up filming last week. I'm sure you've probably seen some of the guys on social media tweeting away. So the filming of that season has concluded. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how that plays out. Does it do well in the ratings, whatnot? So looking forward to that. And a couple of things to mention before I get into the interview portion of this week's edition of the podcast. MMA coming up this week on Friday. You have LFA 6 on Access TV. Eric Anders, who we've had on the podcast multiple times, will be a part of that card. A guy that, for whatever reason, Bellator, even though he won his Bellator fight in, what was it, 23 seconds, did not offer him a contract, which is really weird to me, that especially when you're talking about a fighter at 185 pounds, why they want to bring him in. But we'll see what happens there. But he fights on Friday night at LFA 6. On Saturday, jam-packed, you got UFC Fight Night 106, ONE Championships, ACB 54, and also Shamrock 285. And speaking of Shamrock 285, we'll be hearing from the headliners of that fight card here in a little bit, as we'll talk to both of those guys. And also, should mention, I got a couple of interviews up on the MMAReport.com video interviews to check out. Martin Day, who's a 4-0 bantamweight, he's got a fight coming up. Also, talk to Steve Ramirez, Anthony Avila, and Kobe Wall. So be sure to check out those interviews, as along with the interviews you hear here on the MMA Report podcast. We do like to put some video content up on the MMAReport.com as well. But right now, we are going to get into the interview portion of this week's edition of the podcast. First up, going to let you hear from Angel DeAnda. He is going to be fighting Justin Baseman next week at Global Knockout 9. Baseman is the Global Knockout middleweight champion. This is a rematch. Angel DeAnda won the first matchup, so we talked about that first matchup. Why did he look to have this fight? Talked about his motivation, and we also talked about his time in the World Series of Fighting. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be returning to competition, Global Knockout 9. He's going to be looking for his fifth win in a row, and it's going to be a rematch, title on the line. Angel DeAnda is going to be taking on Justin Baseman. Baseman is a champion here, so Angel looking to capture that title. Angel, I appreciate the time. Obviously, you won the first fight by a TKO, so what is the advantages for you to take this rematch?
Get a fifth win in a row and hopefully get to the UFC.
And that's what your management had told me, that the fact of what has kept you going is that goal of getting to the UFC. Is there anything else that's kind of kept that engine going and why you continue to go through this road of being a fighter?
Nah, just reaching a goal and making new goals. That's what it's all about. I want to know, when I started to fight, I wanted to get to the UFC. And I haven't made it yet. I know once I get there, I'm going to want to make some new goals, try to make a run there. But it's all up to them, man. I'll just keep on fighting. I love fighting. It's what I do for a living, and so I love it. I'm blessed to do it.
I think for a majority of MMA fans outside the state of California, they remember you from your time in the World Series of Fighting. Now, since you've left that promotion, you've won 5 out of your last 6. How would you say you're different now as a fighter, as opposed to your 2 fights in the World Series of Fighting?
Just more knowledge, more experience of fighting. You know, when I was with World Series, I was just so hungry to fight and wanted to fight. I still am now. I was taking any matchups. And it was just kind of hard to get going there. Like, you know, when I was supposed to fight Spongs there, he was... I was supposed to fight him, and then I wasn't. And I was supposed to fight him again, and then he couldn't get his visa thing all set up. And then when I was supposed to fight him the third time, it was kind of like, is this really going to happen? Because is he going to pull out, or was something not going to go through? It didn't happen twice already. So, I mean, I got ready. I was in the best shape ever for that fight, and it didn't happen. And I wanted to go to 185s. Fought a legit wrestler at 185. It was kind of a bad matchup for me, but I wanted to fight bad, so I took the fight, and it was just a great fight. I mean, I hung in there. It was my first fight for 185, and I don't think I should have fought a wrestler. I probably should have fought a striker. Mm-hmm.
Going back and looking at that now, any regrets in taking that fight, or is the way you look at it is everything happens for a reason, and ultimately is, hey, you know, you live it and you learn it and you grow from that.
Yeah, you live and learn. I don't have no grudges against those guys or against the World Series. It's just business, and you know, I wanted to fight. I took the fights. I wanted to fight Spongs at first. When I watched the very first World Series of Fighting before I even got signed, and I seen him, and I seen he didn't have a record, that didn't bother me. But I didn't know he was K-1, but when they were talking about him and his K-1 background, his striking background, I was like, man, that'd be a good fight for me. That's a stand-up guy. And so I've wanted to fight him ever since I've seen him fight in MMA. And You know, it's no hard. It doesn't matter. It's just it's water under the bridge now. I'm ready. You know, I've just gained a lot of experience from those two fights, though, and I just kept on pushing.
12 of your 16 wins have come by knockout. No submission wins. Is there all part of you that you would like to get that submission win, or is it like, look, man, I just want to knock dudes out?
Well, jiu-jitsu is for self-defense before it became sport. So if I ever end up on my back, then, and I get a good opportunity to pull off some moves, then I'll probably get a submission. But if I'm going to knock somebody down, I'm not going to hunt for a submission. I like to strike. So, you know, the only way I'll pull off a submission is if I get put on my back by, and I get a good opportunity, then I'll probably pull one off. But other than that, I don't care for submissions. I mean, they're nice. Mm-hmm. I like grappling. I understand it all. I like to grapple, but I just love to stand up and fight more.
We mentioned about the fact that this is a rematch between you and Justin, the first fight taking place at Itachi Palace 27. What do you remember about that fight the most? Is there anything that kind of sticks out to you about, you know, what he was like as an opponent?
He's game. I know he's game. It's going to be hit and miss. You know, sometimes when everybody expects him to lose, he pulls off like his best performance and pulls it out. And I know at GKO at middleweight, he's undefeated. So I don't know, maybe I don't see nothing different happening. I see me going in there and finishing him again, getting the win, because he's really a welterweight. And he just got an opportunity, took it and capitalized on it. And now he's stuck fighting me again. And I'm just going to go and take that belt.
He enters this fight with three straight defeats. You handed him the first of those three defeats. Do you see anything different in him in his last two fights as opposed to when you fought him?
He said he was hurt when we fought, so hopefully that was his excuse. So hopefully he don't have no excuses after this one.
Does that bother you that he said he was hurt after the fact?
Yeah, because that kind of takes away, you know, from if a fighter says, oh, I was hurt, that's why I lost, or their excuses, that kind of takes away your hard work, your like 6-week keep that you put in for that person. Oh, well, what if they weren't hurt? Or, you know, it's just them fighters looking for excuses, complaining.
You know, one of the cliches you tend to hear in the fight game is the guy that lost the first fight has has a little bit of advantage in the second fight because they realize what they have to do to make those improvements to ultimately get the victory. Why do you feel is your biggest advantage the fact of, look, I already know I can beat this guy, and he's not going to make the changes that he thinks he's going to need to make?
Shit, I don't know whatever he thinks he's going to do. Hopefully he does think he has an advantage, and this time he'll put up a fight. Last time, it wasn't that much of a fight. I was just chasing him down, trying to get him. And I know it's going to be pretty much the same thing this time. So whatever he thinks he's going to make it, whatever he needed to fix to make an advantage on, I've made fixes on my side to where the fight's not going to go to a second round. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to finish. He ran a lot, and I figured out some more I didn't figure out. Now I know what I have to work on to, you know, cut the ring off, and I don't know what he thinks he's going to do, but I'm going to send him back to welterweight.
You mentioned, you know, you're hoping that, you know, fifth win in a row here, that gets you to the UFC. I mean, is that something that, you know, your management believes is reality, that can happen, or is that just, you know, kind of what you hope happens?
I hope it happens, God willing. I got the best management team, Iridium Sports. They got a lot of guys in UFC, so Five. The fifth win is what I need. Then Baseman's gonna get it, and hopefully I get that call. If not, I'm gonna keep on fighting.
Final thing, Angel, and I really do appreciate the time. You've been around this game for a long time. What would you say is your best night in MMA?
My best night, probably. I've been around for a while, and I started out as a heavyweight because I used to weigh like 330 pounds, and I started out as a heavyweight. My best night would be when I won my first heavyweight, my first title, the heavyweight title. That would be my best night.
Is there anything, was it just the fact that you won a title, that's why you view it as your best night in the sport?
Yeah, it was just, that was like the best keep I ever had, mentally, physically. It was a really good keep. I was mentally ready for that fight and physically ready, and it all came together.
And, of course, this fight coming up here, Global Knockout 9 is going to take on Justin Baseman for the middleweight title. Angel, I appreciate the time. Anywhere where people can follow you out on social media?
Yeah, they can follow me at Angel Deanda on Facebook or Angel the Dream on Twitter and Angel and Crystal on Instagram.
Angel.
Yeah, and I got my Snapchat, Modestrian for Life.
All right, that's where everyone can follow you at. Angel, I appreciate the time, and good luck here at Global Knockout 9.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
And that was my conversation with Angel Deanda. Good luck to him coming up here at Global Knockout 9 on March 18th as he takes on Justin Baseman. A lot of great stuff there, talking about his time in the World Series of Fighting, this run he's been on, and that motivation of trying to get to the UFC and with who his manager is, and the fact that Jason House has gotten a lot of guys into the UFC. Maybe a win here by Angel over Justin Baseman ultimately is going to be that fight that gets him into the UFC. Maybe it's a short-notice type fight that ultimately gets him in there, but very interesting stuff there from Angel Deanda. Now, coming up on Saturday night, it is Shamrock FC 285. The main event of this fight card is going to be Garrett Muller taking on Steven Nguyen. I'm going to play these interviews directly back-to-back with each other. As I talked to both guys late last week about their matchup that's taking place on Saturday night at Shamrock FC 285. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is one of the men that's going to be the main event of Shamrock FC 285 coming up on March the 11th. Garrett Muller is coming off that win against Aaron Poston back at Shamrock FC 280 and to get his third career victory. Garrett, I appreciate the time. First off, let's go back a little bit to that fight. How do you assess your own performance in that fight?
You know, in that fight, I felt that's the most focused I have ever felt in a fight, and I felt like I just went out there, I stuck to my game plan, I stayed calm, and I literally just imposed my will and just made quick work of it.
What, you know, in terms of being the most focused you have been, is it, as you look back on it, is it maybe something that during your training that is just, for whatever reason, everything was just clicking?
Yeah, I actually, before that fight, I actually went on a two-fight skid, so I really had to sit down and, like, just think about, like, you know, what I was doing to, like, better myself as a fighter, and I changed up everything, man. I started training with some different people. I was working with my personal trainer, eating healthier. I started doing a lot more, functional work, body, like, athletic workouts, a lot of calisthenics, a lot more stretching, taking care of myself more, not sparring all the time, not rolling and, you know, just being hard on my body like I was used to. I was doing more progressive workouts, you know, a lot of push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, you know, running a lot more. Whenever I would work on MMA, it would be more or less drilling, you know, constantly drilling and, you know, getting better at my craft and, you know, filling in them holes where, you know, I was the weakest and, you know, everything just came together. And I felt like I was a completely different fighter out there, you know?
And, you know, obviously it's a huge win for you. And in terms of, you know, feeling like a different fighter, as you look back on it, do you maybe think in your previous fights that throughout your training camp, you just wore your body so down so much that ultimately the guy that was on fight night was not really the real you?
Yeah. And I feel like whenever, like in those past fights, I feel like I was more constant, like concerned about like the PR and, you know, like those fights, you know, I fought a guy named Richard Lovelace and he's, mm-hmm. you know, he's a pretty popular fighter in St. Louis right now. And, you know, I went out there and I ended up breaking my foot in the first 10 seconds of that fight. And, you know, I felt in that fight that I was real like nervous and real, like just caught up in the spectacle of MMA. I wasn't, you know, concentrating on the actual fight. And I really, me and my trainer, we really sat down and, you know, we more focused on going out there, staying calm, staying cool and collected, you know, hitting my targets, you know, just, you know, making it like, you know, like how I train and practice, you know, just go out there and impose my will, and it just everything was, you know, everything worked out.
And of course, now the main event here of Shamrock FC 285 taking on Stephen Nguyen, who is 2-0 in his career. So you're trying to get rid of that O in his career. You know, young guy. I mean, you're a young guy in the sport as well. But would you call Stephen the hardest, most difficult fight of your career, or do you kind of say, you know what, it's nothing? I'm not trying to discredit Stephen, but I just feel like there may have been a guy that you fought earlier on that you just feel that was a tougher matchup for you.
No, not at all. I've actually been watching a lot of his fights, and I'm gonna give him this. He's a tough kid and he's gritty, and that actually makes me more excited than anything, because that's my kind of style and I thrive in that environment. But you know, everything that I've seen him do, you know, all of his fights that I've watched, there's no place that I feel that he's better than me. Mm-hmm. And I honestly feel that I'm the older fighter. I've had more fights. I've had the experience. And I honestly think that's going to show, because I do not think he has fought the caliber of people that I have. And I don't think he's been put in those situations and had to fight through the adversity that I have, you know, that I've had to do in my fights. And I think that's really going to show, you know, as the fight goes on, and like, you know, if I can't finish it in the first round, if it goes to the second round, you know, it goes to the third round, I think you're going to really, really see me and my experience shine.
When you walk into a fight and you just feel like, look, this, you know, I'm at a different level than this guy, is there ever at all concern of walking in maybe with too much confidence, to almost like that borderline cockiness where you may not realize it, but you might open yourself up to something?
You know, I worry about that every now and then, but to be honest, I'm that confident with myself and going into this fight. You know, I just, like I said, I've watched his stuff and he doesn't show any parts of his game that's going to give me trouble. And like I said, he's gritty, you know, he'll push me. He's going to come out there. I know he's going to have good cardio. I know he's going to be aggressive, but you know, I'm going to have great cardio. I'm an aggressive forward moving fighter. And I really think that, you know, as soon as I grab a hold of him, you know, the whole tide of the fight's going to change, and he's going to be like, you know, this is real. I'm going to make MMA real for him. So,
you know, in terms of making it real, maybe another term people might say is you're trying to break him. When you know you have your opponent broke in a fight, where you're like, okay, I've got it. When do you realize of, okay, all right, now the time to go for the kill, time to get them out of here?
I see it in their eyes. I literally can look at my opponent, and I think it's just an experience thing, but once you go in there, you can usually tell by, you know, the chain, like just how they move, the look in their eye, they get, you know, more skittish. They're not committing to, you know, the moves that they want to do. You know, I can usually, when I smell blood, that's, you know, I usually know for sure that I can get the kill, and I'm going to go balls to the wall, and hopefully, you know, he doesn't put himself in that position. It'd be a long night for him.
In headlining this event, you know, obviously it's a great honor for you. Do you feel any pressure, any additional pressure? I understand there's pressure in every fight, but any additional pressure to go out there and put on a show?
You know, I was actually, you know, I've been, you know, kind of creeping this guy, you know, on Facebook and whatnot. And really not really so much pressure, but it's more or less exciting, because, I mean, this kid, he's a popular kid in Kansas City. I mean, this kid posts one thing on his Facebook, he gets 500-600 likes. You know, I post one thing, I'm lucky to get 10, you know. So I know that if I can go out there and I can cap this guy and I can win and, you know, amazing fashion, I know that's really going to skyrocket my name, and that's what I really need right now.
So you're saying you've done a little Facebook stalking on him just to see what he might be saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you talk about, you know, I mean, look, part of this game is obviously what you do, you know, in the training room and what you do on fight night. But the other part is a PR aspect. How do you
How do you embrace that? Because I think for some guys, they're very open to it. They love it. Other guys, it takes some time. So, you know, for you, how do you kind of, you know, make sure you're handling that PR aspect wise of, you know, obviously promoting yourself?
You know, like back whenever I first started, I felt like I almost got too wrapped up into it. You know, it was too much to handle for me. And it almost, like, I've seen a lot of guys get so consumed by the PR aspect that it almost makes them become narcissistic in a way. And, you know, they concentrate more on the PR than actual training. So it's kind of, you know, one of them things where you got to be, you know, you got to entertain the fans. You got to, you know, get them hyped up, get them ready for the fight, get them in anticipation, but you can't let that consume you and, you know, take your focus off what you're supposed to do, because at the end of the day, you're supposed to train hard and go out there and do your job and win the fight. So it's been kind of, you know, a task to be able to balance that, but I feel that I found, you know, my happy medium in that aspect. You know, get people hyped up, but don't get so wrapped up into it to where it's taking your mind off of training. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to help you win fights.
How do you see the victory coming for yourself?
Honestly, I see myself 7-0. I feel that that's my jiu-jitsu is the strong. I feel that that's my strongest aspect in this fight is my jiu-jitsu. And, you know, to be honest, I could knock him out. I honestly feel that I'm the more aggressive striker. I feel that he's a good wrestler. I feel that I give myself a little bit of the edge on wrestling just based on experience. But I'll go for the knockout, or I'll rip his arm off, one of the two.
And, of course, this is going to be the main event of Shamrock FC 285 coming up on March 11th as Garrett's going to be taking on Steven Nguyen in the main event of the fight card. Garrett, as always, man, I appreciate the time and good luck.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You just heard from Garrett Mueller. Now we're going to talk to the man that he's going to be facing coming up here at Shamrock FC 285 in the main event of the fight card. Man, it's going to be looking to go to 3-0 in his career, Steven Nguyen. Steven, I appreciate the time. How's things going?
Things are going great, man. Everything's going great. The weight cut's going good. The training's going good. No injuries. I feel great.
As I mentioned, third professional fight. So how is preparations for this fight different than your previous two pro fights?
You know, every single fight I train basically the same way. It's just the opponent's different. So I train for the opponent. I break down my opponents. You know, I study them. I learn them. And I have a good game plan coming into this one. So, I'm good to go. No matter what, I always train hard. I put 110% effort into it, and I train with the best people. So I'm confident in my training, and I train hard as always.
And both your wins come by submission in the first round. In terms of Garrett's abilities in relation to your other two opponents, is this a totally different challenge for you in terms of what Garrett's going to bring as opposed to your previous two opponents?
Yeah, like I said, every opponent is different. You know, he brings a different threat. He has a different skill set. So, I've changed my game plan for every single fight. But at the end of the day, I come into every single fight the same way. I come in there to finish. You know, I'm going to come in there. I'm going to try everything I can to overwhelm him. I'm going to use my skills. And you know, you guys will just have to see what happens, because I'll be ready for everything. I'll be ready to stand up. I'll be ready for the ground. But I'll be ready for a three-round war. So I've just been training hard, and no matter what, I'll be ready for anything. But yes, every opponent is different. So you'll always be seeing a different Steven in there. I'm never going to just be the same exact fighter that goes in there and does the same exact thing, you know.
In terms of whether it's people who are going to be attending Shamrock FC 285, or maybe people who are going to be tuning in on ShamrockFightingChampionships.com to watch the internet pay-per-view, how would you describe yourself as a fighter for people who have not seen you before?
Man, I'm a young, upcoming fighter. I'm undefeated. I come in there, I'm hungry, and I'm going to finish my opponent. You know, I'm coming in there, and I'm going to give everything I have. I'm going to make an exciting fight, and any chance he gives me, I'm going to try to finish this fight. You know, I'm a finisher, and that's all I can say. You know, I'm a ninja.
In terms of going for that finish, for you, how do you know when is the right time to go for that finish, or as opposed to maybe kind of waiting for a better opportunity to look for that finish?
You know, there's both sides. You know, I can wait for an opportunity, or if I see an opening, I'll go for it. You know, my style of fighting is a pressure fighting. You know, I'm going to try to overwhelm him. I'm going to put pressure on him. And any opportunity I see an opening, you know, I'll throw a punch, a kick, knee, anything can happen. You know, basically expect the unexpected from me. You know, if he gives me his neck, I'll choke him out. He gives me his arm, you know, I'll hit him with the arm bar. You know, I'm an opportunity finder and I'm an opportunity maker. So I'll make something happen in there either way.
You know, when I was looking up your profile and doing some research on you, I didn't see any nickname. Is Opportunity Maker a good nickname for you?
Actually, my nickname now, since I started my pro career, is the Ninja. So that's my Steven the Ninja Nguyen. That's my nickname.
Who gave you the nickname?
So, for the longest time, all my teammates have been calling me that, but you know, I kind of just brushed it aside. I thought it was pretty cool. All my teammates, my coaches, my teammates from Florida called me that and stuff like that. So, I kind of just stuck with it. You know, I think it's good for me and I kind of fight that way. So, yeah, you know, that's who I am. I feel like now.
Where do you train?
It's a part of me.
You mentioned about training in Florida. Where are you training for at?
When I was training in Florida, I trained at American Top Team. I trained at the Jungle MMA. I lived down there for a couple years of my amateur career and fought down there. But now I'm back here in Wichita, Kansas, and I'm training here at JMTK and a couple other gyms around the area. So, yeah.
Was it the training that drew you back to Kansas, or was it a job, school? What drew you back to Kansas?
Yeah, basically, yeah, it was like school and like, you know, just everything with my family, stuff like that. There's a couple personal reasons why I came back. But, yeah, I'm just happy that I got an opportunity to train up there with the best people out there. I learned so much and I got a lot better. So,
you know, they always talk about the next fight is an opportunity to, you know, show what you're working on and show that evolution of yourself as a martial artist. How different are you now as opposed to your last fight?
You know, I'm just getting better every single day, either in the off season or if I'm training for a fight. I'm always learning new things. I honestly, truly feel I'm on a completely different level now. My last fight was in October. I was in training camp because I was going to fight in Bellator, but that didn't go through. So I picked up this fight, stayed in training camp, stayed healthy, stayed in shape. And, you know, I'm learning new things every day. My body is I'm getting stronger. You know, my skills are evolving. And, you know, I really, truly feel like I'm on a completely different level. And I feel like I'm getting better every single fight.
When you talk about, you know, taking yourself to another level, how much of that is the mental side of the game as well as the physical side of the game?
Man, the mental is huge. You know, like, basically the fight starts when I get the call about who my opponent is. The fight really starts when, you know, hey, you're deciding that you want to fight for this organization on this day. You know, like, I think as soon as I chose a fight, I went on a run right away. You know, like, I was like, it's time to get in shape. It's time to do work. You know, this is my life. I don't play around with this stuff. And I just got right to work. But the mental side is huge. You know, everybody says it's all about physical stuff. But to me, fighting is 90% mental. I can train all day. I love it. I can do it all day. But the fight is a lot in your head as well. So you have to be confident. And if you're not confident, then, you know, you have a good chance of losing. So,
you know, with this only being your third fight, is there a daytime job or are you a full-time fighter?
Man, I'm a trainer at Title Boxing. So I work there part-time. I'm also a student at WSU part-time, but man, you're completely right. I'm a full-time fighter. I train 3 times a day and this is all I do. So, I'm working a little bit on the side, going to school a little bit on the side, but fighting, like I said before, you know, this is my life. This is all I do. This is all I care about. And this is the only thing I want to do. So I'm pursuing my dreams right now. And yeah, everything's going good so far. I'm excited.
What are you going to school for?
I'm going to school for marketing and management.
Okay.
So business, basically.
Would it basically be getting a degree is kind of the long-term backup plan or the life after fighting?
Yeah, it's like a, you know, I mean, first of all, you know, I enjoy going to school, you know, I like learning and yeah, it's a backup plan. And I feel like for fighting, you know what I'm saying? Like after I retire in the long run, okay, I have a degree. And it's in marketing. I can market myself. I can continue on with it. I can maybe build my own business. There's a lot of opportunities I can have. But having a degree, yeah, is good as a plan B, and it's good for what I'm doing right now. So it's for both. And I like staying educated. I like learning, and I like, you know, being in that atmosphere. So it all works out.
You mentioned about working at the Tile Boxing Club there. You know, when you're working and you're working with people, whether it's, you know, someone who is a fighter, maybe just someone who's looking to come in and just get a workout and, you know, maintain their body and things along those lines. Can you correlate anything that you teach into how you become a better fighter?
Yeah, man, like when you reteach your techniques, when you reteach things, you help review it in your own head. So you might not be doing the actual physical activity of doing it, but, you know, you're kind of reviewing it yourself. And it's like you're reteaching yourself, so it's good for the mind, you know what I'm saying? And I like to motivate people. Stuff like that. When I'm in the gym, I'm a coach, and I'm motivating people who lose weight, people who's there just to get a workout in. There's even some fighters in there that, like, I've trained that are amateurs. You know, it's awesome, you know? I'm still able to do something I love, even though it's my job. I'm still able to teach back my passion. So at the end of the day, I wouldn't even call it a job. You know, I'm getting paid for doing something that I love doing. So it's all positive. It's all positive.
Talking about motivation, where does your motivation come from?
You know, basically my motivation, you know, like, I have my own self-motivation, man. Like, since I started, you know, since I got into fighting, I mean, I've been training since I was like 5 years old. I've been doing karate. I did wrestling. I've always been into combat. My family's into combat. I've grown up into a martial arts type of life. So this has always been everything I've known. And, you know, the passion has always been there. I'm a young guy. I don't have a family. I don't have anything to worry about. I'm able to concentrate everything that I want in this passion. I just love fighting, and that's what it is at the end of the day.
And, of course, this is going to be the main event of Shamrock FC 285 coming up on Saturday night, March the 11th. Of course, if you're not in the area, you can watch this event on ShamrockFightingChampionships.com. Steven, I really appreciate the time. Anywhere where my listeners can follow you out on social media?
Yeah, they can follow me on Instagram at StevenWin145, or they can add me on Facebook, StevenWillWin, or my Twitter. So I have all the social medias. You guys get on there, check me out, add me, and yeah, we'll be good to go. Follow my dreams.
I appreciate the time and good luck here at Shamrock FC 285.
Thank you, sir.
And that was my conversations with Garrett Mueller and Steven Nguyen, both going to be the main event of Shamrock FC 285 coming up on Saturday night. Of course, you can watch that event on ShamrockFightingChampionships.com as a part of a internet pay-per-view. Now, coming up next Saturday is going to be Valor Fights 41. Of course, this is an event that if you're not in the Tennessee area, you can watch it on FlowCombat.com. One of the prospects on this fight card that you want to be paying attention to is Demir Ferhat Begovic. He is going to be taking on Luis Pena. By the way, Luis Pena will be a guest on this podcast next week, so look forward to that interview. But I did have a chance to recently catch up with Demir Ferhat Begovic and talk to him about his fight taking place next Saturday night at Valor Fights 41. Joining me now here on the MMA Report on Radio Influence is man stepping back into competition, Valor Fights 41, coming up on March the 18th as he's going to take on Luis Pena. Demir Ferhat Begovic is going to be looking to go to 4-0 in his career. Demir, appreciate the time. Coming off that win back at Valor Fights 38 against Charlie Alexander back in November. So what's been going on since that fight?
You know, I just got right back into it. I took maybe a couple weeks off. Had some injuries from the fight. Had an ankle injury. So I wanted to recover fully before I went back into training. But yeah, ever since then, I've been training hard. I've been begging Tim for a fight, and he finally got me one. So Valor Fights 41 is where I'll be.
When you're recovering from injuries, is it a tough time for you to not be in the gym and working on your craft?
Absolutely. You know, the gym is my second home, you know. So whenever I'm out of there, you know, I don't feel, you know, in place. I'm always looking to train every day. So, yeah, that was a little tough. But, you know, I think I made the right move and made sure my body was 100% before I got back into it.
Now, I mean, obviously when you're recovering from injuries, you can still work on some other things. So, I mean, was there anything physical you were working on, or maybe more you're working on the mental side of the game, or maybe breaking down your own film and figuring out what you need to improve on?
Yeah, so I wasn't doing anything physical, you know. Obviously, it depends on the type of injury you have, limits what you can do physically. But, you know, I looked over the film maybe 20 times, probably for the last like week after the fight, just kind of breaking down the fight, see what I did wrong, see what I did right, and just see what I can improve on next time.
You know, and I know you're a different fighter every time you step into competition. How do you feel you're a different fighter right now in comparison to when you fought Charlie?
Ever since then, I got a strength and conditioning coach. So I've been working with him three to four times a week, just improving my overall conditioning. So I think this fight's definitely going to show the improvement.
In terms of improving that conditioning, what particularly are you doing in training that maybe you weren't doing before?
Just incorporating different exercises. But yeah, just my strength and conditioning coach, he kind of has all the stuff I need to do. Before, I was really just doing all that stuff on my own, you know, just basically researching, getting tips from my coach, Ben Harrison. But yeah, now that I have an actual strength and conditioning coach, I think it's really going to change the game for me.
And looking at your opponent here, Luis Pena, what I've been able to find out about him, 2-0, you know, took his pro debut last year. He's already had two fights in just a couple of matter of months here. But, you know, what do you see in Luis as an opponent, and what gets you excited about this matchup?
He's going to be a tough opponent. I know that. I'm expecting that going into the fight. Me and my coach have sat down, looked over his film. We devised a game plan especially for him. You know, I like to train for different opponents differently. But, yeah, he's going to be a tough opponent. I'm expecting that, and I'll be ready for it.
What do you think he does the best?
He has decent stand-up from what I've seen. I know he's had a few boxing matches, a few kickboxing matches. So he's got decent stand-up. I'm hoping the fight will stay standing. But, you know, you never know. You got to expect everything. But, yeah, I think my stand-up is my strong suit, so hopefully it stays standing.
How much of your preparations is about you as opposed to what your opponent brings?
I'd say 50-50. You know, I keep my overall structure of training the same. But, you know, you always got to prepare for different opponents differently. So you always got to tweak little things, work on your game plan, especially for them. You know, when you're out and sparring with people, you want to, you know, rep the things you're going to do in the fight and sparring. That way you can get it down. Perfect, you know.
And, you know, in terms of, you know, a lot of fighters told me this, and, you know, a lot of your training camp is you want to try to put yourself in bad situations, you know, so you're ready for them when it happens on fight night. How much of that is part of your training camp?
That's a huge part. You know, in jiu-jitsu, we'll always get in bad positions. We'll get mounted. We'll get inside control. And, you know, you got 3 minutes to work your way, to work that position. Get out of it or escape, you know, get a submission, anything like that. So getting in bad positions, I think, is one of the best training methods you can possibly have. That way, once you get in the fight, you're not, you know, panicking. You've been in that position multiple times throughout the camp, and you're ready for it.
And, you know, do you see this fight ending in a particular way? Is it just, you know, you're not a big predictor, all you do is predict is a victory?
You know, I'm always hoping for that, you know, knockout win. I think that's what the fans want to see. That's what I want to see. But, yeah, I'm hoping for a knockout first or second round.
In terms of obviously wanting to go in there and buy a knockout, but is it also the mindset that has to be on fight night is you can't be thinking one thing because it may allow you to miss maybe an opportunity there, maybe an opportunity to take the fight to the ground and maybe hop on the guy's back and pop in a rear naked choke?
Most definitely. You know, when I go into fights, I'm coming in clear-minded. You know, you have your game plan, but you always got to be ready for anything, you know. It's an MMA fight, so, you know, the fight can go to the ground. It can keep standing. So you just got to kind of keep your head clear. Don't go head-hunting, you know, if you're wanting to knock out, because it can get you in trouble. You know, you can get taken down, stuff like that. So, yeah, I just think keeping your head clear before the fight is definitely essential.
In terms of, you know, they talk about the mindset, how important that is in this game and, you know, how things that happen outside of fighting can screw with you on fight night. You know, everyone has, you know, things going on in their life. How do you make sure that everything that's happening outside of fighting doesn't make it into fight night?
Yeah, just the week of the fight. That's all I'm thinking about, honestly. 100% of the time when I wake up, that's the first thing I think about. When I go to bed, that's what I'm thinking about. I think just staying focused on the fight and not letting outside elements get to you, I think is definitely a key to winning a fight.
And, you know, a victory here would put you to 4-0 in your career. Have you mapped out what you want to accomplish in 2017?
Yeah, I want to get at least 3 more fights in after this one is what I'm aiming for right now, two at the least. But, yeah, I just want to take it one fight at a time. I know I'm going to make it big eventually. I just got to take it slow and not rush things. But eventually my time will come.
Is it all tough for you not to try to rush things in your career?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm ready for the next level of fighting, you know, getting into the bigger shows. But for right now, my coach says the same thing. My dad's a big supporter. He says the same thing. You know, you just got to take it slow one step at a time, and eventually your time will come.
And, of course, you'll be able to see Demir fight here. Valor Fights 41 on March the 18th in Tennessee. If you're not in the Tennessee area, you can watch this event on flowcombat.com as he'll be taking on Luis Pena. Demir, I appreciate the time, and good luck here at Valor Fights 41.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. You have a good day.
And there you have my conversation with Demir Ferhat-Begovic, going to be fighting here. Valor Fights 41 next Saturday night there in Tennessee. Dylan Kala is another guy on that fight card. Pay attention. He's in the main event. Going to be taking on Chris Wright. As you know, Valor does a great job up there. By the way, speaking of Valor Fights, they do have a podcast now here on Radio Influence called The Valor Hour, hosted by Valor Fights president and matchmaker Tim Loy and Valor Fights color commentator Casey Oxendine. So you want to check that out. Comes out every Thursday morning as they talk about the latest in Valor Fights, but also they give their thoughts on everything that's going on in the world of mixed martial arts. Their debut podcast came out last week as they had another promoter on with them, plus had a couple of fire interviews. So look out for that on RadioInfluence.com. Also, on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, our final guest here on this week's episode of the podcast is going to be a fighter who's going to be fighting for the 559 Fights vacant bantamweight amateur title next Saturday night in California, and that is Devin Chavez. He's going to take on Anthony Jimenez. Had a chance to catch up with Devin, talk to him about what has been going on with him. Hasn't fought since 2015. Also, at the end of the conversation, we talk a little bit about music. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be headlining 559 Fights in his hometown of Visalia, California on March the 18th. Devin Chavez, who is 4-3 in his career. He is 3-1 in his last 4 fights, but it is the first time he's competing since May of 2015. So, Devin, let's start off there, man. What's been going on the last year and a half or so?
Oh, man, a bunch of stuff, man. I've been busy doing, you know, taking care of some personal stuff. Took some time off from the cage for a while, but I'm glad to be back March 18th, man. I'm excited. I actually did do a couple Muay Thai fights just to do them. You know, they were fun. Fought for the dual state belt in late December for Nevada in Vegas. So that was good. Did a couple other Muay Thai fights too. Just been keeping busy with those. Just getting all my stuff together. You know how it is.
And you're going to be fighting here for the vacant bantamweight title, taking on Anthony Jimenez. You mentioned excited. You know, how on fight night do you make sure that excitement doesn't kind of turn into something bad to where maybe you open yourself up for something and maybe you got to make, how do you calm those nerves down of, you know, hey, you know what, this is just another day in the office.
You know, my first couple fights, I would get so nervous, man. And just like you said, I'd be open for things. I would, I don't know. It's just different now. I don't really get nervous anymore. I'm more happy to fight than ever. Can't wait to get my hands on somebody, you know. It's gonna be fun. But yeah, I just as soon as I get in the cage, I do my 3 deep breaths, just look around, take my walk around the cage, you know, and then I'm at home good.
Fighting in your hometown, you know, some guys will talk about they love it, some guys will say, yeah, I love it, but then, you know, there's the other side of, you know, hey, you know, people looking for tickets and things along those lines. For you, what is it like fighting in your hometown?
You know what? I love fighting in Visalia. I feel like every time I fight in Visalia, I get a big draw going. So a lot of people around here, they like to go watch the fights, and I like to sell them tickets. So it works for both of us, you know?
And of course, we should note this is an amateur fight. You're looking to go to pro at some point. Main event, third main event. So you're very used to this situation of waiting around all day, waiting for that fight.
Yeah.
What is the hardest part of being the main event? Simply of timing everything, knowing when to start your warm up, so you're ready to go when the referee says, "Hey, let's get it going."
Yeah. I feel like the first time I was co-main event or main event, I kind of got warmed up too early, and then when I was getting ready to fight, just getting tired, oh man, because the first time I fought, I was the first fight, and then like the second or third time, I was like co-main event, and I was like getting warmed up, getting all pumped up, and then all of a sudden like 9 or 10 fights go by, and I'm just like, man, I want to go home now. I'm tired. It's already almost 10. But you know what? I feel now I've got it under control. Just relax. Just keep my cool. And then when it's time to go, it's time to go.
And, one of the cliches you always hear is taking one fight at a time. But I know that's a mentality you have. Is it one thing where early in your career, maybe you didn't have that mentality of maybe you were thinking about three steps away as opposed to that one step that was right in front of you?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think that's the whole point of being an amateur, though. You get used to these things. At the beginning of my amateur career, I was always just like thinking, oh, what's next, what's next, what's next? And then overworking myself, getting too nervous, just overthinking things. And now I'm just like, hey, like, bring it on, whatever. I'm down for whatever. I feel good.
along with being a fighter, you also have two jobs, so that balancing act. How much of is this balancing act is your jobs working with you, knowing, hey, I've got a fight, of course, coming up here on the 18th. How is it working with them in terms of making sure that they're kind of on board for what you do, as a developing career?
Oh, they love it, man. Everybody at my jobs, both of them, they love hearing about my fights. I get a lot of support from them. They can't wait to hear if I won or lost or whatever. I hear, like, when I come back to work, I'll usually go back, like, the next day or the day after one of my fights, and I hear them, they're like, yeah, man, we heard that you won. We had it all on the radio and the phone last night. I'm like, you guys are crazy. They work really well with me. I feel like they give me the time off that I need for training, and it's good.
What are the jobs?
I do stocking at Ross and loss prevention at night, so that got that one going. And then I also work at Target. I do the stocking there, and I clean out the freezers as well. So I get my little cryotherapy in the freezers every day, for free. I get paid to do it, so it works out for me.
And I guess, stocking, you can get a little bit of workout in, too.
Yeah, man, lifting all kinds of heavy stuff all day, and then going to training helps.
and one of the things that MMA has had a huge impact on your life. First off, how did you get introduced to MMA?
Just watching it with my dad. I used to watch a lot of UFC. We used to watch a lot of Dan Henderson, Ultimate Fighter, So just watching it with my family, they love MMA. So I was like, one day I just was like, hey, I want to fight. And, of course, my mom, no, you're not going to fight. But everybody else is on board, and now she's on board. So here we are.
as a kid, did you get into fights? Or is this one of those things of – and do you look at MMA as more of a competition as opposed to a fight? Or you say, no, this is a fight because the guy across the cage from me is trying to beat me up.
I have never been in a fight outside of the cage or ring. Everybody always asks me, have you ever been in a street fight? I'm like, no, dude, I have never been in a street fight ever. But I take it as a competitive fight. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go in there trying to be sloppy and just brawl with this guy. I'm going to go in there and I'm gonna compete with him. I'm going to play my game and use what I learned in training to beat him.
And the opponent you're mentioning here, Anthony Jimenez, he's 6-2 in his career. And I saw a quote from you that basically you kind of feel that, hey, look, yes, he's got a good record, but he hasn't fought anybody like me. Why do you believe that?
Every fight is different for everybody. And I just feel like my game is different than anybody he's ever fought. I don't think he's been with somebody as experienced as I am. And I'm going to bring it on March 18th, and then he's going to know.
Do you think this is the toughest fight of your career to this point?
No, most definitely not. The toughest fight of my career was actually Holt Felkins, who's actually pro now, and he just won his first pro fight at Catchy Palace Fights. So he's a real gamer and the hardest fight. Yeah, I have actually fought him twice.
In terms of Anthony's skill set, what do you see as the is there one certain thing that you know you have to be on the lookout for?
No, I'm going to be on the lookout for everything. I know he's a really good fighter. I'm not trying to knock Anthony down for any of his skills or anything like that. I know he's a good fighter. His record proves it, the people that he's fought. But I just feel like I'm ready for him, and I feel like he's not going to be ready for me.
You mentioned about, you haven't necessarily set a date of when you want to go pro. Is this kind of a... I don't know the best way to describe this, but is this kind of the fight that maybe is a little bit of a test here to see when that pro, when the right time is a GoPro?
Most definitely. Most definitely. This will be a good test for me, against a guy who's probably going pro soon, I assume. You're right. This will be a good test. And if I squeak out this win, like I think I'm going to, maybe we'll see what's next.
Is that a decision that's more of a sit down with yourself and your coaches before making that decision of saying, okay,
we all talk at the gym. We're all family over there. So, my coaches, they know what's best for me and they know if I'm ready and I'll feel it too. So we just kind of, we're just taking it as one at a time, like you said earlier.
for the MMA fans of Visalia, if they don't have tickets for this event yet, why should they put over their money to watch you fight?
Oh, they should definitely come watch these fights. 559 Fights 54 is going to be off the chain. I'm telling you guys, you're going to see a lot of good fights. Fireworks for the main event. Me and Anthony are going to put on a good show for the fans and should definitely come out and get some tickets.
You got any teammates fighting on this event?
I do not. I don't have any teammates fighting on this event. I do have a couple teammates fighting this weekend, though.
Is it good to have teammates fighting on the same event as you, or is it sometimes maybe better that they're not because then all the attention's on yourself with all of your, coaches and training partners?
Yeah, that's true. I do love the attention all to myself, but... I don't mind it. I love fighting with my teammates. We fight with each other every day, so why not have them on the same card as me,
Is there one guy in the gym that just knows how to push your buttons the best to get the best out of you?
I wouldn't say push my buttons, but we definitely, everybody at our gym, we joke around a lot, but we train hard. So it's kind of a mutual thing. But Anthony Castrojón, he's okay. Fighting for WPK this weekend. He's the main event for that. Me and him are like brothers, man. We mess with each other every day, all day. Send each other messages, just texts all day, video chats all day. We'll just mess with each other all day and then until we get to punch each other in the face at night.
One of the things I always like to ask guys, and you're very young in your career, so, there's not a ton of experience you have. What is the best night of your MMA career and the worst night of your MMA career?
The best night of my MMA career was when I won the featherweight strap for 559 Fights, actually. That was a really good night. I had a lot of fun, and we put on a good show, me and Steven Ronenberg. The worst night was losing that strap to Holt Felkins, obviously. Yeah, he took the belt, so that was probably my worst night.
But do you look at that and say, it sucks you lost that night and you don't want to lose, but do you look it back at now and say, that's ultimately made me a better fighter?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely don't like to lose. Losing is It's the worst feeling, man. Like, you trained all these months to win, and then when you lose, you just feel like garbage. But you do definitely grow each fight, I feel like. I actually just lost my last fight in December, but I still feel – I felt good after because we went all five rounds, and he won by leg kicks in the fifth round, but at that point I was like, man, I've grown as a fighter, and I'm excited for it.
In terms of, you know, introducing yourself to the MMA fans outside of where you live, what would you want fans to know about you, whether it's as a fighter or as a person?
I want people to think of me as like I can fight, but I love to laugh, and I'm always smiling, even in the cage here and there. I'll be smiling. I'm always in a good mood, man. I never really have a bad mood, and I just like to fight. That's it.
And of course, this fight coming up here, 559 fights on March 18th as you fight for the vacant bantamweight title. Final thing, do you have the walkout song picked?
I don't, not yet. I haven't even thought about that, actually. I'm going to have to give that some thought now.
So you're not one of these fighters that it's always the same song?
No, I don't really care. Usually, I think the last couple of fights, they've just put on some random song, and I'll just go to it. I don't really mind, but thanks for reminding me. I'm going to have to think about that, Jason.
Is there a song in the, you know, while you work out, maybe you're on the treadmill, whatnot, getting some cardio in that really pumps
man,
you up?
You don't want to know what we listen to at the gym, man. We listen to some funny stuff. We'll put on Mexican music. We'll put on Muay Thai. We'll put on anything, man. I don't really care. I like all music, so whatever.
Yeah, I'm pretty. My range is pretty wide. I listen to a lot of things. We actually just got
the only thing I won't listen to is country. Actually.
I'm not a big. I used to work for a country radio station doing promotions, and I just like people would say, "Oh, who sings a song?" I go, "I don't know. I really don't know." I really work for a top 40 station. If it's a top 40 song, I could tell you exactly who it is.
Yeah. I'd be like, I don't know, and I don't even want to know, to be honest. Like, country just makes me want to throw up.
I will tell you this. In doing promotions for a country radio station, they throw some of the best parties at concerts, I'll tell you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. By far. By far, they are the ones that know how to tailgate the best. It's not even close. You got your fight coming up here. You know, it is we're very early on in 2017. Have you started to think about when there would be a fight after this, or is that mindset of look, it's only one step at a time, and I'm not even thinking about that?
This year, I'm just trying to take as much fights as I can. This year, this is my year. I just turned 24, and I feel like it's time to go. It's time to just fight. Let's go.
I appreciate you taking some time out of your training schedule to talk to me about your fight coming up here. Anywhere where my watchers and listeners can follow you out on social media?
Yeah, you can follow me, guys. Follow me on Instagram at Devin_C. And on Facebook, I'm Devin Chavez. I don't really mess with Twitter or nothing else like that.
You more of an Instagram guy?
Instagram and Facebook, I'll be on there. Just look me up.
Devin, I appreciate the time. Good luck here on March 18th.
Thanks, Jason.
Great stuff there from Devin Chavez. Good luck to him as he looks to claim the amateur bantamweight title at 559 fights next Saturday night as he takes on Anthony Jimenez. Yeah, talking to him there, you know, talk about, I used to do promotions for a country radio station, and I don't listen to country music at all, but I'll tell you this, even if you don't like country music and you just like to go to concerts and you like to have a good time and maybe tailgate and party, there's nothing better than a country concert. I've worked, you know, top 40 concerts, hip-hop concerts, your rock concerts, country concerts, by far, when it comes to having a good time partying in the parking lot, country concerts are by far the best as they go out there and have a good time. But yeah, great stuff there from Devin Chavez. Really appreciate him coming on the podcast, talking about his upcoming fight. Also want to thank Demir Farhat-Begovic, Steven Nguyen, Garrett Muir, and Angel DeAnda all coming on this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast. My interviews with Angel DeAnda and Devin Chavez were done in video form as well, so you'll be able to see those here in a couple days on the MMAReport.com. But coming up this weekend, we do have UFC Fight Night 106 from Fortaleza, Brazil. Myself and Daniel Galvan will have a preview show that is going to come out on Friday morning. Typically come out around 11 a.m. Eastern time, as myself and Daniel Galvan will
preview this fight card. Of course, headlined by Vitor Belfort, Kelvin Gastelum there at 185. Your co-main event is Shogun Rua versus John Vellante. As I mentioned earlier, really looking forward to that Edson Barboza and Benil Dariush fight, which is going to be on that. Also, Justo Formiga, Ray Borg, big matchup there at 125 pounds. Justo Formiga is a guy that I think we always have looked at as potentially a challenger for Demetrius Johnson at 125, maybe a win over Ray Borg ultimately is what gets him there. Also, that main card, we'll see Petr Gaea, Marion Renault, and Charles Oliveira, and Tim Means. Also, on the FS1 prelims, we'll be featured about is Francisco Trinaldo. And Kevin Lee also mentioned about Davi Ramos, UFC debut. He's taking on Sergio Moraes, stepping up on short notice to take this fight. Also, Hanayaya, Joe Soto, and Mikhail Prazeris against Josh Berkman. And then you got your fight pass prelims as well. So, I don't know if I'll be watching this fight card live in its entirety. I'll probably end up watching the main card live, but when it comes to prelims, we'll probably mostly watch that fight on DVR. But, of course, you know, speaking of Joe Soto, he was a guest here on the MMA Report podcast last week. That interview is up on the MMAReport.com if you want to check out what Joe Soto has to say as he looks for his third win in a row. Also mentioned on Friday night, LFA 6. That's a nice little fight card put on there in San Antonio. Of course, also the ACB card coming up on Saturday afternoon here in the United States. If you're you know, around a computer or around your phone, you definitely want to download the Fight app so you can watch that. It's live and free, so you all have to do is have an internet connection and you can watch that event. Just say it's gonna be a long night of fights on this fight card, but it is a great fight card. Luke Barnett is in the main event of the fight card. Vinny Magalhaes is scheduled to be on this card. Saul Rogers taking on Pat Healy's a part of this card. Mike Wilkinson's on this card. Tanner Bozer's on this card. Brian Kelleher is on this card. Bubba Jenkins is on this card. Nam Phan, Robert Wedford, they're meeting each other. Danny Mitchell's on this card as well. So a lot of notable names that are going to be a part of this ACB show coming up on Saturday. Of course, as I mentioned, it will be available on Fight TV. So you definitely want to download that app, fight.tv/radio/radioinfluence/radioinfluence. So you definitely want to check out those fights coming on Saturday. I'm definitely going to try to check out those fights a little bit. Be watching this weekend. I'll be watching a lot of college basketball. I love this time of year. Big college basketball fan. You got all the conference tournaments that are going on. You know, Thursday night, I'll be glued to the television to watch the Florida State Seminoles. We'll see who they got the double bye. So most likely probably playing Virginia Tech, but of course Virginia Tech will have to win their opening round tournament game to get to Florida State. And I was happy that Florida State avoids Virginia in potentially the quarterfinals of that tournament, but looking forward to that. And of course, next week, March Madness, looking forward to it. As long as FSU's playing in Orlando, checking out the first and second round of the NCAA tournament there over in Orlando at the Amway Center. So as long as that happens, I will just a programming note. We will not have a preview show for next week's UFC card for the London card, but we will have a preview show coming up this week as we'll talk a little bit. We'll talk all about UFC 106 no Bellator card. The next Bellator card is not till the end of the month, March 31st. So that's right around the corner as, of course, I'll be King Mo and Rampage Jackson going to be headlining that fight card. So that is going to wrap it up for this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast. Once again, I want to thank my guests, Angel DeAnda, Garrett Mueller, Steven Nguyen, Demir Farhadbegovic, and Devin Chavez, all coming on this week's edition of the podcast. Of course, you can always listen to the podcast, radioinfluence.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio.
This is the Crush Report with Jeff Crushell.
A simple question. Are your kids using appearance and performance-enhancing drugs? Millions of high school students admit to using. Most are not even athletes. 62.5% used to improve body image and looks. It's dangerous and it's deadly. Yet 85% of high school kids say they've never talked about it with a parent, teacher, or coach. Here's Don Hooten, president of the Taylor Hooten Foundation.
You know, it's such a competition today to have just this quote-unquote perfect body image. And like many coaches do, Taylor was told he needed to get bigger, he needed to get stronger, and he needed to get faster in order for him to improve his chances of making the varsity team. What the coach was unaware of at the time, that about 50% of the boys on Taylor's baseball team were already using anabolic steroids. Taylor began using steroids when he was 16 years old, and shortly after his 17th birthday, we had just returned from a family vacation, and one of the side effects of using anabolic steroids and altering the hormones in the body is depression. And my younger brother took his life as a result of these drugs. And as a family, we came together and said, we have to do something. We have to speak out. We have to share his story. People need to understand how dangerous these are. And we formed the Taylor Hooten Foundation, his name, to create awareness.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.